I'd like to say something that I've prepared tonight.
All right, Alan.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Season 10 of the Raise Your Game Show. As always, I'm your host, Alan Stein Jr. This season focuses on core values. More specifically, why having clarity on them plays a pivotal role in our decision-making, our performance, and our fulfillment. Joining me today is my new friend, Austin Hatch. Austin's story is beyond remarkable, as he survived not one, but two different plane crashes that happened about a decade apart. The first one happened when he was 8 and claimed the lives of his mother, sister, and brother. The second one happened about 10 years later and claimed the lives of his father, his stepmother, and put Austin in a medically induced coma. After a long and grueling recovery and rehabilitation, Austin went on to play basketball at the University of Michigan for Coach John Beilein. Austin now shares his unparalleled story, along with lessons for overcoming adversity to individuals and teams in sports and business. For more on his speaking services, please check out Austin-Hatch.com. That's Austin-Hatch.com. In this series, Austin and I will be discussing the four primary core values of his GRIT framework: growth mindset, resilience, integrity, and a team-first mentality. In today's episode, we'll be focusing on integrity. So Austin, now we're in the third episode of our four-part series, and we've already covered the G for growth mindset, the R for resilience, and now we're going to tackle integrity, which is part of your GRIT acronym and GRIT framework, G-R-I-T. So talk to me about integrity. As always, I want to know what that word actually means to you, how you define it, and why you chose it as one of your core values.
Well, I think integrity is so important for all aspects of life. You know, a lot of companies and organizations, you know, have integrity, you know, written on the wall as part of the cultural framework, if you will. And because I do believe that without integrity, nothing else really matters. If we can't trust our teammates to do what they say they're going to do, even when no one's looking, I mean, nothing else really matters, right? And that's, of course, a great definition of integrity. My school, growing up, the motto was integritas in omnibus. That's Latin. I didn't take Latin, but integritas in omnibus means integrity in all things. That's very important because if you got people that cheat the system, take shortcuts, if the student body of a school can't trust each other to do the right thing and go about their schoolwork the right way, not cheat, it's going to be degrading for the whole school. And like for an organization, the integrity piece is huge. And of course, it's being honest, doing the right thing and no one is looking. But in addition, especially in the context of overcoming any obstacle or really in the context of achieving any goal, especially achieving a goal as a team for that matter, Alan, I believe integrity is following through on our commitments, especially when there's a change in circumstance. I think not to say that following through on your commitments is ever easy, because it's always a little bit of a challenge to do what you say you're going to do, especially when there's a change in circumstances, when it gets challenging. And, you know, I'm reminded of what Coach Beilein at Michigan did for me. He offered me a scholarship on June 15th, 2011, when I was playing at a pretty high level. He saw that I may be able to help his teams win championships on the court by scoring, rebounding, playing defense, things like that. And I hoped to have a great career there when I committed. It was a dream come true. 9 days later, I was involved in the second plane crash of my life and was almost killed. I was in a coma for 2.5 months. And I came out of that coma and I couldn't walk and I was in a wheelchair. And Coach Beilein came to see me in the hospital and said, "Austin, I can't wait to have you on my team someday. Whenever you're able to get to Michigan, I can't wait to coach you." Here's a guy that recruited the likes of Trey Burke, Tim Hardaway Jr., Glenn Robinson III, Mo Wagner, Nick Stauskas, bunch of really good NBA players, right? He comes to the hospital and tells a guy that can't walk that he can't wait to coach him someday. I don't know that I've ever really heard of a better example of following through on a commitment despite a drastic change in circumstance than that, because Coach Beilein and I committed to each other. He said, you know, when I got to Michigan and talked to him, and he's like, "Austin, this was a no-brainer. Like, it's just what we do at Michigan. We follow through. We do what we say we're going to do." I feel like from an organizational, cultural perspective, if we can just do what we say we're going to do all the time, even when there's a change in circumstance, that's only going to help us win in the long run. Maybe if you do that for a week or two, it's not going to make a big difference. But over the long term, it's going to help us win. And so what I conclude from that, Alan, if making a commitment is a common thing, a lot of people do it. I would argue that every person in the world makes a commitment every day of some kind, whether it's to themselves or to somebody else. They make a commitment of some kind every day. But there's obviously not that same number of commitments followed through on that there are commitments that are made, especially when there's a change in circumstance, right? So if making a commitment is a common thing, a lot of people do it. Maybe everybody does it. But if following through on those commitments, especially when there's a change in circumstance, is an uncommon thing, I believe following through on our commitment when there's a change in circumstance is doing a common thing in an uncommon way. It's doing a common thing in an uncommon way. And the result of doing the common things in an uncommon way is we're going to leave people in places a little better than we found them.
Wow. I mean, there's so much in there that I want to double click on. I mean, I'm hearing that integrity in many ways is kind of congruent with being of high character. And I love that mindset of do what's right, even when no one's watching. You know, you mentioned the importance of trust, that the only way you can actually solidify trust, whether it's trust of self or trust of someone else, is by being someone of high integrity. You know, you mentioned that, and I believe this wholeheartedly, integrity is not something that you can pick and choose or compartmentalize. You know, either you live a life of integrity or you don't. Now, with that said, I'm also a big believer that as human beings, we are flawed and fallible, and we will all make mistakes. We will all have lapses in judgment, and every single one of us have made decisions that maybe weren't of the highest integrity at the moment. I don't think that means you're not a person of integrity. That just means in that moment, you had a lapse in judgment or made a mistake. But as long as you're aware of it and can recognize it and can right that ship and course correct, then you get back on that path of integrity. And then the last thing that you really started stirring some thoughts are about commitment. And I love the way you've kind of used integrity as a way to define commitment and sticking to the things that you said you would do long after the mood at which you said you would do them has left, and honoring your word. So many different things there. Can you think of other examples where integrity has played a major role, either in your life or in part of some of the teams and organizations that you've been around and worked with?
Yeah, well, I think just that the integrity that, as I said, that Coach Beilein showed.
Oh yeah.
Right, you know, of following through on a commitment when there was a change in circumstance was incredible. And I think about integrity is doing the common things in an uncommon way. That was regarding making a commitment. Another example of doing the common things in an uncommon way is my dad and I would go to McDonald's for breakfast, usually on Wednesdays and Fridays from about 2005 to 2010 before I could drive myself to school. Because I would carpool my best friend. My dad drove us to school on Wednesdays and Fridays. There was McDonald's pretty close to his house. So we'd go there on the way to pick him up, he and his sister up. And I learned this from a family friend just last summer, actually, that the cashier who was always at McDonald's on Wednesdays and Fridays was a guy named Josiah. And Josiah, I wasn't paying much attention at the time. I should have been. But our family friend told us that cashier from McDonald's on DuPont Road in Foran, Indiana, Josiah was at my parents' funeral after my dad passed away in 2011. Wow. And the reason I say that is I think the reason Josiah went to my parents' funeral after my dad passed away in 2011 is because my dad did something to make Josiah feel appreciated, valued, like he was important, because he was, right? My dad did something that left Josiah a little better than he found him, which is why Josiah wanted to go celebrate my dad's life after he was already gone. Josiah didn't go there to be there to show my dad he was supporting him. My dad was already gone, tragically. Josiah went to my dad's funeral for him because he wanted to celebrate my dad's life. And my dad was a doctor, you know, saw 40, 50 patients a day, really, really busy guy, pain management physician, and just really, really busy. Maybe he took an extra 10 seconds instead of just getting the food and driving away. Maybe he told Josiah, hey, Josiah, thanks for all you do for us. Really appreciate you. We'll see you next time. Or I don't know, right? Just something very small. There were some big things my dad did. He's a very, very generous man, which is awesome. But he, like I said, maybe he took an extra 5 seconds in the morning. He did a common thing. Go to McDonald's, get your coffee, get your breakfast sandwich in an uncommon way. And the result of doing that common thing in an uncommon way is it sounds to me like he left Josiah better than he found him, which is why Josiah wanted to go celebrate my dad's life after he was already gone. So I just think about it like If we can all do that, if we could all give an extra 0.0001% effort, you don't want to McDonald's. You're just going there just to get his food. You wouldn't think there's any opportunity to impact someone in that setting.
Yeah.
But my dad took 5 seconds, and you know what I mean? So it's just doing, making that little bit of extra effort to leave people in places a little better than you found them. So
absolutely. And I love that that idea and concept of follow through as well. And, you know, to touch on something you said earlier, as far as commitments are concerned, I think you raise an excellent point that on some level, every single human being, every single day, makes a commitment of some sort, but doesn't necessarily follow through on them. Two questions. The first is, why do you think there is such a big, let's call it commitment gap between what everyone says they will do and then what they actually do? Why do you think that is so cavernous? And then second, what's some advice or recommendations you have on how someone can actually close that gap? If someone listening to this has the awareness and the humility and vulnerability to say, you know what, Austin's right. I don't actually follow through on as many things as I should. What are some tools or some strategies they can implement to start doing a better job of closing that commitment gap?
Well, I think, Alan, you know, it's the reason there's a big gap is because following through on any commitment versus not following through on it, it's hard. It's harder to follow through than to not follow through, right? But like the cadet prayer at West Point says, help us choose the harder right over the easier wrong. And it's harder, but achieving any goal, doing things the right way is harder. It's easier to allow ourselves to fall short. It's easier to, you know, not go the extra mile. But I just think we got to just choose that harder right over the easier wrong. And I think you mentioned to kind of bridge that gap, you got to start with the little things though. You could argue that there are no little things in life because little things make a big difference. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. But there are some things that are bigger than others, which is reality. But how can we expect ourselves to follow through on the big commitments if we haven't shown our ability to follow through on the smaller things, right? It's like anything in marriage and business and life. If I tell my wife I'm going to do something, a very small thing, and life gets busy, you know, we don't have kids yet, but hopefully soon. And like things get busy or I'll pick up he or she, someone from practice or whatever the circumstance may be. If I don't train myself and show her that I'm reliable and show her that she can count on me to do what I said I was going to do. If I don't do that with the small things, how can I expect to do it with the big things? It's like, you know, when you say your vows, you know, honey, I vow you to love you for worse or for better in sickness and health, as long as you both shall live or whatever. That's fine. But you're probably not going to love someone in sickness and health, worse or better, as long as you both shall live, if you don't do that in the minor challenges day to day. If the big one ever comes, God forbid it doesn't. But you, like we talked about a few minutes ago, like we got to prepare for the big one by how we approach things every single day. And I think it's, you know, what my grandpa always said. He said, Austin, every day is an opportunity. Every day is an opportunity to get better. Every day is an opportunity to improve. Every day is an opportunity to perform, right? Every day is an opportunity. And no matter what you do, there's opportunity to grow every single day. So when I think integrity, it's you just got to make that consistent effort to always be determined to get better and strengthen that integrity trait.
Yeah, which reminds me, in our previous episode, when we talked about resilience and we talked about that you become a resilient person by continually and consistently making resilient decisions or having resilient responses, even to the small stuff, that you build it like a muscle. And I think there's some parallels to that with integrity. Now, granted, I do believe there are some people who are just of low character, that they don't value integrity. So they don't really live a life that's congruent with making, you know, integrity-based decisions. But for anyone else, it's a moment by moment, day by day, case by case chance to strengthen that muscle. That even if you look and say, you know what, yesterday I made a few mistakes, had a few lapses in judgment, made a few poor decisions that were not of the highest integrity. You don't have to continue to live there. You know, you can make amends if necessary, you can course correct. And then the next opportunity you have to make a decision that's congruent with integrity, then you make that. And the more you can do that, it's that snowball rolling down the hill, then the more steam you'll pick up. So I really like this idea of make resilient responses consistently to be a resilient person, and make decisions of high integrity and responses of high integrity consistently to be a person of high integrity.
No, 100%, 100%. And I like what you mentioned just a few seconds ago here. The coach, John Beilein's of the world, there's not many of those guys.
No.
There's not many of them. Or he's acquired some level of character and integrity and just doing things the right way. Not everybody's like that. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of, you know, I don't know if you want to call it corruption or a lot of people taking shortcuts in college sports, whatever. People take shortcuts in life all the time. There's not many John Beilein's of the world as far as life goes. And I think we can all train ourselves to become a person like that who is so trustworthy, and where if people in our organization, in our family, ask us to do something and we tell them we will, we commit something to them. I feel like if we can have it just be the standard, mm-hmm. that if my wife, Abby, hey, Austin, would you mind doing X, Y, or Z? Or if you ask me, or if I ask of you, hey, Alan, can you do X, Y, or Z with this podcast? Would you be able to, and you don't say, you're not going to say yes to everything. I'm not going to say yes to everything my wife ever asked me. I'm going to say yes to most things she asked me, because that's a good thing to do in marriage, I've learned. Say yes. But if I say yes, if I can make it just be the standard that if Austin says yes to something, it's a no-brainer that he's going to get it done. If I commit something to you, and if you can, and if we can have it be a standard that, you know, if we commit something to each other, there's no chance the job doesn't get done. There's zero chance. Like, I have no doubt in my mind. Like, if in an organization, right? If somebody commits something, if we can have that person be someone of high integrity and just be so reliable that if they offer to help somebody, there's no chance that they don't follow through what they said they're going to do. That's going to help us win. So,
yeah. Well, you bring up a great point. This is the one I'd kind of like to end on as we conclude this episode. And that is, and this just popped in my mind as a way to help narrow that commitment gap. And that is having much higher discernment into what you say yes to and what you make a commitment to. You know, I know that earlier in my life and my career, I was a notorious people pleaser, you know, and that for a variety of reasons that we don't need to unpack now, usually stemmed from some type of deep-seated insecurity that I had, that I felt that if I didn't say yes to people, they wouldn't like me or they wouldn't give me their approval. So I was always saying yes to people. And as you just said, you know, it's hard to spin that many plates or juggle that many balls at once. So what I've learned to do is have much more discernment in what I say yes to. So instead of saying yes to 12 things and only being able to do 8 of them, I'm now very careful about what I say yes to. But now the things that I say yes to, because I try to live a life that's in harmony with being high integrity, I'm going to do those things. And, you know, I think if people are listening, if you can be honest, you know, people, you know, maybe you'd say, hey, Alan, we're going to have some people over Friday night. Do you want to come over? The old me would say, yeah, Austin, sure, man. Yeah, I'll do my best to be there. Even though knowing in the back of my mind that I wasn't going to go. And instead now, I simply, with tact and professionalism and courtesy, would just say, you know, Friday doesn't work for me, Austin, but I really appreciate the invite. Hope you guys have a great time. And that has really helped unburden me of feeling like I have to do all of these things and honor all of these commitments. So right now, I use much higher discernment in the things I commit to, but you better believe that if I commit to them, it's pretty ironclad.
No, for sure. That's a great way to live. And, you know, I'm reminded, as you were saying that, as I was, you know, my freshman year, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to study at Michigan and what I wanted to do with my life. And I was like, oh, do I want to do like science, go the medical route, or do I want to go the business? Do I want to go econ? Do I want to do X, Y, or Z? And Coach Beilein told me, he's Austin, you can do anything you want to do, but you can't do everything. You can do anything you want to do, but you can't do everything. And it's exactly the same thing that you were saying. I'm sure you'd like to follow through on every offer. You'd like to say yes to everything. But you can't. We're human. Our time is limited. Like, can't be in 2 places at once or 10 places at once. You can only put your attention to one thing at a time. And so I think, yeah, just making it, having the discernment, as you mentioned, and just to one thing I've learned from my wife is, you know, even more so is to just be so present, be where your feet are. And if we, I would much rather, you know, commit to one or two things each week, give it 100%, then commit to 10 and only give 10% to each, right? So just be where your feet are, crush where you currently are. Like we were talking about with Duncan Robinson prior to the whole conversation, oh, this is a little off track. If you're planted to play at Williams College, crush where you are. If you get an opportunity to go to Michigan, crush it there. Just crush every stage and just be so intentional about making the most of every opportunity that you've been given.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for investing your time with us. I hope we helped you raise your game. For additional ways to raise your game and raise the game of those on your team, please visit allensteinjr.com and strongerteam.com. In the do 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 in the do do